Hello and welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters for the 19th of December 2022. I am joined by Carl.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about the Thursday Night Massacre, which I have no idea what it is.
Oh, you'll enjoy it.
Argentina being declared officially non-white.
Finally, I win.
Yeah, I think you are right about this. Aren't they in the Global South as well?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, officially non-white. And also California's Reparations Task Force.
Because that'll solve all of the problems.
Are they literally just going to, like, swat people?
No, they're literally going to pour gold into the pockets of Mercedes-Benz. That's what.
Oh, it's a good time to invest in Mercedes-Benz, I suppose.
Actually, it really is.
Even though this is not financial advice.
No.
As always. Oh, God, I miss GameStonk. Anyway.
Oh, just as a quick thing on the GameStonks, right? I meant to bring this up to you, actually, this morning. So, Henry Cavill has left The Witcher, left Superman, and it was announced that he was going to be directing or producing and starring in a Warhammer live-action TV show. Guess whose only stonks are in the positive? That's right, my $100 of Games Workshop stonks. Actually in the positive.
How much?
$11. Which is way more than everyone else. Google, Amazon, all the other, like $100 and all these other, all of them tanked. Games Workshop. Bum, 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 bum. Just thought I'd mention it.
So your advice to everyone of, like, get off the internet.
Not financial advice.
No, your advice has always been, like, get off the internet and get a hobby, and everyone did that, and your stonks went up.
Yeah, it's long
conflict
con.
Of interest, yeah. Here.
Yeah. Well, I figured that if I'm going to spend so much money at Games Workshop, I may as well profit from it, and now I'm 10 bucks up, which buys me, like, 1/4 of a Land Raider. So
I think maybe two
guardsmen. It's probably more than that, actually.
Hmm? Two guardsmen, maybe? How much is a box of guardsmen?
About 30, yeah, it probably is about two guardsmen, actually, yeah.
Anyway, enough from the podcast of Warhammer fandom. We'll get into the podcast. No,
this is a stock trading podcast now. It just happens that this is a stock of trading.
Our guest this week is Jim Cramer. Anyway, let's begin with the Thursday Night Massacre.
Last Thursday was a tragic day on Twitter.com. If you were a legacy verified checkmark. Now, I'm not a legacy verified checkmark. I've signed up, done my bit. Paid my $8 because I'm not on Amazon on Apple, so I don't have to pay $11. So now I'm officially a retard.
I've been really out of the loop. What do you mean you got to pay a different price on Apple?
So Apple scam people who use their Pay app by saying, look, you got to pay 30% of whatever your transaction goes across this app to us. And so Elon was like, right, okay, we'll just raise the price of Twitter Blue on Apple by 30%.
Oh, that's gold.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I don't use Apple, so I'm only paying the $8. But I've got an official verified checkmark account now, which is not how I thought 2022 was going to end.
Cursed? Or...
Well, I am more retarded than I was before we started. but the point is, like, I get to wear a little cap that says I have autism. So please be nice to me. The legacy verified checkmark. So it's nice to call them legacy because it's even the official thing on Twitter is a legacy verified checkmark. And if you bring up the text that is the pop-up on it, it says, this account may or may not be notable.
Times have changed.
They didn't take it well, right? They did not take this well. Anyway, and so they've been trying to do everything they can to essentially revolt against Elon Musk. And Musk has been winning a lot, actually, until about yesterday, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But the point is, Elon has been winning so much that I think he can be, at the moment, compared to Robert Clive, the conqueror of India for the British, who you can go and watch a premium podcast about on lowseas.com, where me and Beau are discussing Clive of India. How did he take this gargantuan subcontinent? Well, gloriously, that's how. But anyway, if you want to go support us, go watch that. It's good stuff. Because the thing is, right, that you can't really make a solid comparison with someone. Because, I mean, before I was comparing Cunning to Napoleon, I was like, oh, Napoleon lost. That's not good. We need a comparison.
Also, Napoleon was the bad guy.
Well, to the Russians and the British, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Okay, but not to...
what do you need?
Like... Not to Napoleon, he's not.
No, he wasn't the bad guy to the French. I don't care.
Well, he might have been the bad guy to the French, to be honest. Yeah. But the point is, you can't really compare someone to a historical figure until their life is over, because you don't know what the outcome is going to be. And so, before I prepared this segment, I was thinking, well, he's actually quite similar to Robert Clive. I'm starting to think more like Pyrrhus of Epirus now, but we'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, so, Thursday, things started getting brutal.
I recognize that name.
Yeah.
That's the Vox.com editor, isn't it?
It was. Well, I mean, I suppose it still is. Like, everyone's treating this as if Literally, he's in cash in his Twitter. Valinor is now feasting in Twitter Valhalla.
So did they all decide to delete their Twitter accounts like they said they would?
No. Account suspended.
Well, what did they do?
Whack. Do you know who's next?
No. Matt Binder? Not familiar with that one.
Do you not remember him from Gamergate?
I'll probably remember if he has his profile picture. Right, well, I don't see that anymore, will I?
As another one, whack. And as Jack Posobiec pointed out, this is turning into a bit of a bloodbath.
Ooh. Okay.
Lots of very big left-wing journo accounts.
Some may or may not notable people being removed.
Notable if you're in particular spaces. And so, as Jack Posobiec there points out, it's like, hang on, what, did they dox Elon's private jet? And it turns out, yeah, they did, actually. So Elon had posted this. Last night, a car carrying his son, X, was in LA, followed by a crazy stalker who, thinking it was me, blocked the car from moving and climbed onto the hood. Legal action is being taken, of course. But the point is, the person knew roughly where he was and had tracked him down. And remember the Elon Twitter jet tracking bot? Well, that's gone as well now, incidentally, right. Because this appeared that actually, yes, revealing Elon Musk's location in real time kind of has consequences when you are Elon Musk and there are millions of rabid leftists out there who actually probably would kill you if they had the opportunity.
Well, I wouldn't have my location streamed 24/7.
No, I wouldn't.
But, and but I'm not you Elon can Musk. Do it if you want, and it's
yeah,
who would do that?
Yeah, and so Elon was like, look, actually we'll have a policy where you can't dox people on Twitter. You imagine the leftists took that well. They're like, hang on, that's all we do.
Hasn't that been policy for a long time? It's just never been applied.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. It's never been applied. And then so suddenly, things are... And Elon literally came out and said, look, journalists will be treated exactly the same as everyone else on Twitter. And therefore, whack, 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 yes. A bunch of them got suspended for doxing Elon Musk. And and as he points out, here, if you go back to the other one... If anyone posted real-time location and addresses of New York Times reporters, the FBI would be investigating. There'd be hearings on Capitol Hill and Biden would be giving speeches about the end of democracy. He's right.
Okay, no, 40 chess. Bring them all back immediately and then just start doxing their location. What are they going to do?
Good point. We don't need a doxing rule on Twitter.com.
I agree, Aaron Rupter at 52 Elementary Drive.
Which we do not know is his address.
Yeah, it's completely fair.
And so, yeah, that's a great point. And people were like, well, should real-time doxing be banned? And as you said, yes, it actually was, you know?
Yeah, and for a good reason, which is, you know, death.
And so half a dozen very infamous journalists got their accounts suspended, and all hell broke loose.
Why the hell were they all tweeting it?
To dunk on Elon Musk? Look, this is where you are or something. Like, I don't
Again, know. They're like, they all think they're invincible.
They were prior. The rule never applied to them.
Shame.
The BBC decided to report on this. There was lots and lots of reporting on this, but of course the BBC one is... This is most like regime mouthpiece, I think. But the United Nations has joined the European Union in condemning Twitter's decision to suspend some journalists who cover the social media firm. The United Nations. The European Union. Like, Elon... You can't suspend Keith Olbermann.
We will just completely overthrow elections.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the EU, the most notable example.
Well, no, they don't... No, that's not...
Sorry, they fair. Ignore the elections.
They ignore the elections and just have the election again until they get the result they want.
Yeah.
The United Nations, I mean, I guess I can listen to China and Russia's opinion on fair treatment of the internet. I guess I can be lectured by these people. No, piss off, you know. I don't care about their opinions at all. Right?
I think they're still on the Human Rights Council, along with North Korea.
Thank you for your service, North Korea.
Yeah.
Anyway, reporters for the New York Times, CNN, and the Washington Post are among those locked out of their accounts.
Oh, no. Oh,
this is an attack on journalism, you know.
No, that's not.
Media freedom is not a toy, says Melissa Fleming, the UN's Undersecretary General for Global Communications. A free press is a cornerstone of democratic societies and a key tool in the fight against harmful disinformation. Well, Melissa, I have to say, if you don't like what Twitter does as a private platform, go and build your own. Remember, it's not censorship. To be refused a platform, they're just showing you the door.
No, Melissa, just send us your current location. I mean, I'm sorry, but like this is.
And then
so...
we'll put a bot up of you. Where are you going?
Yeah, yeah. But like, it would be okay if it's, you know, a day ago, Bill Gates, he went to Jeffrey Epstein's island. I mean, obviously there's public interest there, right? Yeah. Makes sense. Doesn't threaten the guy. Blah blah blah.
But that also doesn't have to be real time.
Yeah, you know? Current real time where you are. I can agree that that probably is not worth defending.
Yeah,
and not really needed.
I don't think that's a component of free speech.
There's an imminent. Incitement to violence that can be inferred from that.
It seems to be political intimidation. Yes. But again, like media freedom is not contingent on the use of Twitter. As we've been told many, many times, you don't have a right to use social media. Private platform, do what it wants.
I mean, I believe that's you do, but...
I'm just going by Supreme Court judgments that have shown that in every single time have resolved in the favor of the platform under their First Amendment rights. So, sorry, Melissa, you're wrong. But the BBC, why did this happen? They haven't told us. He's just done it for no reason.
They didn't actually explain, did they? It's just, this thing happened. Why?
Well, if you go down enough, right, far enough into the article, they say, Mr. Musk has not directly commented on the suspensions, but said in a tweet that criticizing me all day long is totally fine, but doxing my real-time location and endangering my family is not. Right. So... they were doxing his real-time location and endangering their family. That's not the headline, BBC. The headline is that Scrooge McMusk has decided to ban all these journalists for no reason because he's an evil tyrant. Pathetic. Absolutely pathetic.
Man,
right?
Arrested by FBI. Why? Don't ask.
Yeah, exactly. Because the FBI are just bad. Actually, the FBI are bad, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, yeah.
But Musk says the same doxing rules apply to journalists as everyone else. He said, okay, good. That as it should. You know, you shouldn't be putting out people's personal location in real time. And if you do, it seems to be an obvious incitement to harassment, at the very least.
If not violence.
Going
by the United States Supreme Court's, you know, the strongest defense of free speech of any given nation, the legal sense, even their definition comes down to imminent incitement to violence is something that is banned.
Yes.
And you can reasonably infer this.
Speaking of free speech, oh, so much for commitment to free speech, says Newsweek. So much to get the...
Okay, Brad, what's your location? Let us know. Put it in the comments.
But also, Brad, let's pull up your history of defending free speech, shall we?
Yeah.
Oh, Alex Jones off, Donald Trump off. Oh, now it's Keith Olbermann and Taylor Lorenz. Well, I mean, too much for free speech. See, this is C.S. Lewis. No, C.S. Lewis? No, it was the guy who wrote Dune, Frank Herbert, where he's like, you know, when they're strong, when they're weak, they'll use your principles against you. When they're strong, they'll take them away. This is what is happening right now, right? They don't care about free speech. And of course, Musk knows this, thank God. He's just like, well, so inspiring to see the newfound love of freedom of speech by the press.
A little love heart emoji.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, they're like 13-year-old tweeting.
Yeah.
it's good.
I'm hoping that he gets to the Chelsea Manning level of tweeting, where everything's in emojis. Just his entire Twitter policy is now emoji driven. but the
as
point
clear as mud.
Yeah, but the point is that Musk clearly understands that these people are disingenuous snakes who are just saying this because they hope it'll like pull on Musk and be like, oh yeah, I do have to let him back on. No, you don't, right? I mean, no mention in the BBC of, like, the Twitter files. Do you know anything about the Twitter files?
I remember hearing about it.
Right, well, it's quite important. It just shows that Twitter, essentially, before Musk, just to summarize all of it, were kind of like a woke cult that were desperate and proud of deplatforming Donald Trump and everyone else, and were quite willing to just comply with every FBI request they got. Do you know how many FBI requests they got?
10?
About 150.
That's quite a lot.
Do you know, there were some accounts. The FBI
request for what exactly?
Deplatforming. Censor this person, said the FBI.
The FBI say, we don't like this guy, get rid of him.
Yes.
He's not broken any law.
No.
Otherwise they'd arrest him.
Of course not. They had 80 people.
It's the FBI. It's, yeah.
They had 80 people on the team monitoring Twitter for tweets that they didn't like.
They're all getting paid.
They're all getting paid by the taxpayer.
To Jesus Christ.
Right, so literally millions, right?
Yeah.
But and interestingly, some of the people they would go after would have like 10 followers. Like there's this tweet that three people must have seen. We want you to take this down. It's like, why?
So if you actually just hurt the fifis of the @FBI Twitter account, they used to write letters to HQ are getting
emails to Yol Roth saying, and Yol Roth were like, yep, doosh, done, sorted. And so it's not technically illegal, probably, but it is weird.
This is unconstitutional.
I mean, there's bound to be an argument. It would have to go through the courts. Yeah. You know, I don't know, right? But it's probably not technically illegal on the face of it. But it's all obviously gross and corrupt and shows that
anti-American.
It's anti-American, and it shows a weird fusion of private business and government agency. I think there's a word for that, but I can't remember what it is. I mean, it may be that Jack Dorsey committed perjury when he was testifying in front of Congress.
And lied.
Yeah, and just openly lied and said we don't shadow ban conservatives. And then Elon Musk just opened, oh yeah, look, here's the shadow banning code. Here's the list of people. Oh, look, it's all conservative shadow ban. Don't know what to tell you. So well done there, Musk, right? But moving on, we get to December the 15th. And it got its own Wikipedia page. Can you scroll down this just to show you the length of the Wikipedia page?
The December 15th suspensions from Twitter. Oh, for God's sake.
This must be like 5,000 words.
What?
Keep going. Keep going.
Oh, I know why this is so long. The people who do Wikipedia moderating are
left-wing, an extension of the Democrats.
This is the most important thing to them.
Exactly. Look at the size of the article, right? And it's people like I said, Keith Olbermann, who are banned, right? Aaron Rupar, Keith Olbermann. If you go to the next one, just see this lunatic. I mean, look at his face, right? We don't even have to watch any of the video. Just look at his face. Like, this is someone who's totally captured by social media, totally captured by Twitter. And so they've... Can you play the video?
To be honest, I actually do feel sad for Keith. I've watched a lot of his videos in there.
Oh, he's pathetic. It's, you just play it with the sound off.
Hey, right. I don't know if this got any...
But look at the excitement. This is something deeply important to him. And it was so important that his dog apparently has a Twitter account that he commandeered. It's like tweeting under his dog's Twitter account. It's like, Keith, you were doxing the man in real time, mate.
You know, I've got a family.
Yeah. Like, this is the most important thing that's happened to him all year. But anyway, let's move to Taylor Lorenz. She got banned too.
For doxing.
Could you believe it? This is just to give you a before
witch doxing was she banned for?
Well, before we get on, let's just pull up these images. So this is Taylor Lorenz in 2020 saying, look, I went to a private Swiss boarding school at 90k tuition. Blah, blah, blah. It taught me so much about the underprivileged, which it would. If you get to the next one, then you go forward 2 years and she's like, I never went to a... So she's a liar, right? She's just a known public liar.
You know that's where Kim Jong-un went, right?
Yeah, and didn't Assad go there?
Pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Very underprivileged people.
It's weird how the circle she mixes in. Anyway, if you go to the next one, John pointed out, wow. Didn't have that on my 2022 bingo card.
To be honest, I am quite happy to see that everything is healing.
I know. Nature is healing. Why? Well, I mean, she is responsible for doxing loads of people. Loads of people. This is Ariadna Jacob, who's like, look, I wasn't famous, but I got doxxed because I was annoying them. And of course, she doxxed libs of TikTok. And I don't think this is the end of it. I just got bored of searching through the list of people she's doxxed. And she was saying, oh, I wasn't. She took to TikTok herself, saying, oh, I wasn't trying to get libs of TikTok banned. You were just misgendering people, and that was the policy. So you were trying to get banned. That's the point.
That was a bannable offense.
Yeah. And so you trying to highlight that is trying to get them banned. And so she's...
Smile. Look at the smile.
Yeah. So she's lying, and she knows she's lying.
But sad, Elon... Sad to see an old woman go that way.
Yeah, but Elon was like, look, I am a merciful God. I will put out a poll. Vox Populi, Vox Dei. Shall we unsuspend the accounts who dox my exact location in real time? And people are like, you can do it now, or you do it in 7 days. I was on the 7 days train. Give them a week off. Make them languish in the oubliette for at least a week.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is something that frankly needs to be automated, which is that whatever your suspension, it should be a week or month, whatever, as long as it's a fixed period that's within a human time frame.
Yep.
Whatever, no one's going to really care.
Yep. 5,000 years in jail.
I mean, even if you get banned from like Gmob servers, you don't get 9,000 years. So...
All except one were unbanned.
Ooh. Who remained?
Let's go to the next one, John.
Taylor Lorenz was permanently suspended after Elon Musk said it was temporary. Hmm. I wonder, did he have a message from the FBI or?
I know, but we're writing to let you know that your account has been permanently suspended due to multiple or repeat violations of our rules. Replies to this email will not be reviewed, as this decision will not be reversed. Thanks, Twitter.
Like, thanks.
I gotta say,
the atmosphere at Twitter.com's headquarters must be just so much more fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's justice for everyone that Taylor Lorenz's dogs.
Oh, God.
Anyway, so then you got Aaron Rupar, who did come back and was like, the rules are so vague, you can get banned for anything, which is probably the point. It's like, oh, welcome to the real world, Neo, because that's what it's been like for us for literally the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. You deliberately had, I mean, this has been the eternal complaint about Silicon Valley. I've been banned or we've been struck or whatever, and we don't know why, because you haven't pointed to a timestamp and a particular rule. And that's always the way it's been. And so now the sword of Damocles is above your head as well.
Did I tell you about the black guy who got banned from Facebook? He made a pancake mix, you know, like all those different like black people on boxes of food selling stuff. That was unacceptable. So he right. made his own pancake mix, put himself on the box.
Right.
They banned him for racism.
What?
Because of his representation of black people as, I don't know, some kind of inferior people.
What?
He had to appeal it.
Excuse me, it's not racist for me to put my face on a pancake box because I literally made this pancake, and what's wrong with you?
But I mean, how vague do the rules have to be that your own face is considered racism? I mean, I don't know who gets that honor, but presumably just him.
I haven't heard of that. Anyway, so moving on. Elon, this was a great series of wins for Elon. And really, he should have left it there. He should have just been like, right, that is like, you know, I've scoured the earth. I've banned a bunch of journos. I've let a few back because I'm a magnanimous god. But I'm keeping Taylor Lorenz off just because I know it's going to really drive her mental. But then he decided to carry on and started introducing policies like blocking links to Instagram, Mastodon, other places, but not TikTok, incidentally. Right, so you can't be...
Was he drunk? What?
Yeah, I don't know. That's the thing. Like the point of this policy is to make sure that you can't just have... an account that is like, you know, the Facebook account on Twitter, promoting Facebook on Twitter. And it's like, okay, but why? Like, there's a profound weakness in that policy. Mm. I mean, he tweeted that, oh, well, it's just common sense from a business perspective. It's like, it kind of is, but Twitter isn't a standard business, right? Obviously, Tesco's aren't going to promote Sainsbury's food, but that's not what Twitter is. Twitter is, as you characterized it, the public square, and... Notice how you don't go to Facebook to promote Twitter. Facebook comes to Twitter to promote them. You go to Twitter. This is where everyone is. This is like it's the center of gravity of the online universe, basically, when it comes to people who think of themselves as important or want to be important, having a voice that other people can hear. They don't go to Facebook. They don't go to Mastodon. They don't go to Gab. They don't go to Getter. They don't go anywhere else. They go to Twitter. And so
it's also just because you've got all the excitement right now.
Exactly. But it has been that for a long time, right? And so, you know, Twitter don't set up a Getter account, but Getter do set up a Twitter account, that sort of thing. And so this seems actually kind of weak, because it's like you're the point at the bottom of the filter where everything is rolling down to. You don't need to ban these things, and actually it makes you look like actually you're not so confident in your position, which is never a good sign. Don't show weakness. But Elon tweeted out an apology for this. He reversed this policy, apparently. Going forward, there'll be a vote for major policy changes. My apologies won't happen again. It's like, I'm not sure. I mean, don't get me wrong, I appreciate the fact that he can admit his mistake here, but I'm not sure this is actually the wisest thing. Like, he should be taking the executive action on policy as he wants it. And then if that kicks up a lot of stink from the marginal left-wing brigade online, on Twitter, just do one of these polls that will get like the majority of people behind what he wants, just to tell them, look, everyone wants it, shut up. You know, you don't need to actually do policy by democracy, and it's probably wise that you don't, because people will vote for Boaty McBoatface, things like that. So, you know... You don't need to do that.
Rename Twitter. What to?
Well, this actually next one is a great example of how he undermines himself using polling on Twitter. Should I step down as head of Twitter? I will abide by the results of this poll.
Yeah, this is dumb.
Yeah.
Like, you own it.
Yeah.
I don't get this.
I mean, the poll should have read, should I just arbitrarily ban a few more left-wing verified checkmark journos? I will abide by the results of this poll.
just completely arbitrarily.
Yeah, just I'll pick some out of a hat. Pew. Why? Because I can.
That's live stream it. Just that one.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Not should I step down as head of Twitter, because now they're always going to beat him with this. Cause, I mean, like, I don't know whether he will or won't. I mean, he will eventually. But the point is, he says the question is not finding a CEO, because of course there are going to be loads of people who would love to be the CEO of Twitter, but it's finding one who can keep Twitter alive, because of course Twitter is losing money. Now, I don't know what the financial state of Twitter is since he took over and released all its financials. You know, I don't know how much money they're making from the blue checkmark scheme, the Twitter blue scheme, advertisers, various things like that. We haven't got any further information as far as I'm aware. But people are like, well, who are you thinking of as a successor? And he's like, there is no successor. You get the next one. He's got, like, no one in mind. No one wants the job who can actually keep Twitter alive. There is no successor. So it's like, right. So what was this? You know, this wasn't the best move, in my opinion.
The quartering's just like, well, here's my resume.
Yeah, well, I mean, don't go wrong. And you may as well, you know, you don't ask, you don't get. But the point is, this shows an inconsistency, a mercurial nature in Elon that actually is not wise. And he should have, in my opinion, after the grand releasing of the journos from jail, just done nothing. Silence would have been really powerful at that point, because the demonstration of power was made. Look, I'm just banging, ping, 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 ping. You'll do exactly as I say. And now I don't need to do anything, because doxing is already verboten on this platform. The rule will be applied evenly, and then, great, I'm going off to watch the World Cup. Have a great time. You know, I'll be tweeting about football, and just left it at that. And then nothing would have changed. There would have been no sort of loss of prestige on Elon's part. He would have just been actually increasing the amount of intimidation his name would have brought around. But this instead gives them a method to attack him, and it's like there was no need for it. So you should formulate your policy in private, Elon, and only when you feel the need, you feel that it needs popular justification, appeal to polls. Don't make policy by democracy, because people, I mean, think how many bots the left have access to. How many bot farms have access to? They'll rig any poll they need to. So anyway, that's that.
So with that, we'll move on to breaking news. Argentina, officially not white anymore. It's been done. I know that this has been the position of the people on 4chan for quite some time, but turns out that also the entire critical race theory left have now shake hands and have agreed that, yeah, Argentina is definitely not white, and the reason is because they won the World Cup.
Argentines officially people of colour.
Yeah, indeed. And we'll just start off by mentioning a contemplation, so you can go and check out, about how accurate are stereotypes. They exist for a reason. And when it comes to Argentina, yeah, kind of. Yeah, a little
this
bit.
This is a great episode.
Screeching about how Argentina is white. Anyway, but we'll go to this article, because this is the thing that sparked my interest. This is an archive, before we go any further, but it's an article from the Washington Post. Why doesn't Argentina have more black players in the World Cup?
Do you know why this is an archive?
Because they changed the name.
Also, do you know why they changed the name?
Because it's a real bad look.
Because I ratioed them on Twitter on this.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Oh, good.
I literally clipped a bit out of the article and said, if you read your own article, you'd know. And they had, like, you know, twice as many likes as they had in theirs. And they did, yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, if you read the full article, you find out some more and more revealing takes from the author, which are good fun, and I thought we'd enjoy. Start off with just the byline being, Argentina is far more diverse than many people realise. But the myth that it is a white nation has persisted.
Not with me.
We're all well aware that Argentina is not a white nation. Do not worry, folks.
I don't consider any nation that's south of the English Channel to be white, to be honest.
No, there's that too. There's also one north of the English Channel that's not white, Ireland. Mm. So that's also got to be dealt with. But for people who don't know, there's quite a meme about this, which has been hovering
around. An old meme about this as well.
Still checks out.
It does, yeah.
I thought we'd go revisit this just to enjoy a moment. So if we go to the next one here, we can revisit that. Argentina is white, screams the local Argentinian football fan. And there's more of that. There's a lot more of that. If you go to the next one here, we can see more. Say hello, my white friend, to a local Argentinian poster who's posting away with his insistence.
It's so weird that they have to, like, essentially validate 4chan memes. Like, why is this the way they think?
Because, I mean, this sort of S-posting is funny and old and almost forgotten.
Classic.
Yeah, there's actually, you can, what is it, on meme?
So stupid.
Not Meme Insider, what's it called? That website that logs all the memes.
Know your memes.
Yeah. They have like a little bar that shows the popularity of the meme over time, and it's like, you know, dead. And then all of a sudden, it's really spiked for some reason.
The New York Times is like, we need to bring this back. This is vintage.
Which, I mean, to them, thank you. I do miss good things like this.
Yeah.
And if you're the last one here, I think it's the last example I'm just going to give, which... anyway, long-running joke. But back to the Washington Post deciding to go full 4chan.
I just want to make it clear as well, we don't care at all what colour people consider Argentina to be.
No, I don't care.
Just don't care at all. Like, the fact that you're talking about this is what's funny to us.
Like, all of a sudden you are, for some reason, deciding. I mean, there's you know, the whole conversation as to what even is a white country, what does that concept mean? But it just breaks down to... basically, do I love or hate them?
Yes.
Depending on your political persuasion as to whether or not a country is white or not.
And so they're like, oh, I can like Argentina because it's not a white country. It's like, yeah. Okay.
That's also the defense of why diversity totally wins football games. Which,
oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah. Her name here, so Erica Edwards over here, is the author of the award-winning book Hiding in Plain Sight, Black Women, The Law, and The Making of White Argentine Republic.
Oh.
Which, again, sounds like a 4chan post.
It does, actually. I mean, she's literally a black woman saying Argentina isn't white.
She's also an associate professor at the University of Texas.
Well, she is.
El Paso, right. But she decides to write here, as fans keep up with Argentina's success in this year's World Cup, a familiar question arises. Does it? Why doesn't it's not why I always think when I think of Argentina.
Millions of, probably billions of people are watching the World Cup, and she's just sat there going, but are they white?
And she's thinking that everyone else watching is like,
yeah.
Bit Italian, you think?
Yeah, that's definitely out for me.
Now, the question is, why doesn't Argentina's team have more black players?
Yes, this is the thing, because in the same article they say, well, Argentina has less than 1% black population.
So, I mean, some people would think that means that maybe it's expected that you would have less black players. But...
Well, how many players do you have on the team? 11?
Yeah.
So fewer than 1% of the team should be black if we were doing proportional representation.
So if we do 23andMe's on the team...
Well, I mean, I can't speak to that. We'll talk about that in the final segment, actually.
Oh, God. Anyway, but she says, in stark contrast...
Okay, it's not my politics. It's actually Californian politics that's now getting the 23andMe's out. But anyway... And this lady
who just has to know.
It's weird how we've got back to racial purity testing.
It gets worse than that. She mentions in here that, of course, other South American countries such as Brazil, Argentina's soccer team pales in comparison to them in terms of black representation.
That's because Brazil's like 20%, 25%, something like that, isn't it?
So I don't know. I mean, in my mind, 100%, but, you know.
Get back to that. Mine too.
Because we go to the Wikipedia page, of course, as you've noted. Wikipedia doesn't really list black people as a group in Argentina either.
Right.
They list, in their census, 0.4% Africans.
Right.
Is how they put it. Which, that's not even 1%. That's not even 0.5%. Less than 0.5%.
85% so. German, though. Look at that.
Oof. Hitler and his boys. Anyway, getting back to the article.
I saw a great meme about this. It's just this guy saying, yeah, Argentina will win the World Cup. And the camera pans across to the crowd, and it's just a very aged Hitler waving an Argentinian flag.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah, it's an all-white team.
Yeah.
You can do that in Hawaii 4 as well. Anyway, but she writes, the observation is not a new one. In 2014, observers hauled jokes about how even Germany's soccer team had at least one black pair. Whereas it appeared that Argentina had none during that year's World Cup final. And you may remember who won this World Cup final. It was diversity, right? Because diversity wins.
That's what I've been told.
I mean, they literally put it on their plane for the German team.
Yeah.
As we'll get this up.
That's like Andrew Lawrence.
Which, yeah.
Did they win, though?
This is the thing.
Did the English team win? Did the French team win?
I did call this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take the credit here, which is that I did say this is going to happen again. And it has happened again. And the cope this time round is, yeah, well, what if Argentina is all black? Which is not the cope I was expecting.
What if Argentina isn't a white country? It's like, well, then checkmate.
Well, here we go. Here goes the argument. She says, in 2010, Argentina's government released a census noting 150,000 people, which amounts to about 1% of the country, was black. For many, that data seemed to confirm that Argentina was indeed a white nation.
Not for me.
No, not for me either.
We're not black. Well, that's not good enough, I'm afraid.
I've got some more questions before we go any further.
Neither are the Irish, mate.
Just spit into this cup for me. But roughly about 200,000.
This is so stupid. 2022. Like,
4chan memes are now mainstream discourse.
This is just... Who cares? Okay, yeah. They care. Sorry. Yeah.
But roughly 200,000 African captives disembarked on the shores of Rio de la Plata during Argentina's colonial period.
Oh my God, are they going to complain about miscegenation?
Yes, they are.
Oh, fuck.
Race mixing is bad. According to this woman.
Says one Washington Post article.
The reason race mixing is bad is it because it dilutes the race to the point that it's not pure anymore, according to this woman.
So the
I'm not kidding. That's where we're going.
The what was it? Spanish, Italian, German immigrants to Argentina were like, God, those black women are sexy.
They were.
We're gonna have to marry them.
Ooh la la.
And this woman's just like, yeah, but that's black genocide.
I'm not. You called it in one.
I haven't read the article. I just skimmed through to get the number to ratio the one.
Yeah, no.
I wish I'd read it now because it's genuinely hilarious.
The whole thing is gold. That's why we're doing a segment on it. Anyway, she says at the end of the 18th century, well, 1/3 of the population was black, which going to need a fact check on that, but whatever.
Yeah.
She says, indeed, not only is the idea of Argentina as a white nation inaccurate, it speaks to a longer history of black erasure.
Right. So literally black genocide.
Yes.
Through marriage.
At the heart of the country's self-definition.
Right.
So you remember that image earlier of the guy on the train screaming, Argentina is white? That's what she actually imagines Argentina's history is since the founding.
Well, I mean... Here we are.
Yeah. Argentina has several myths that purportedly explain the absence of black Argentines. Well,
there aren't an absence. There are 150,000 of them.
No, but she's coming into, like, what was that show called? I can't remember his name now. The guy from... I've completely forgotten now. But there was that show where the guy would come in and he'd, like, try and myth bust everything.
Well, it's called Mythbusters.
No, not Mythbusters.
Oh, Adam Ruins Everything.
Adam Ruins Everything, yeah. Yeah, she's Adam Ruins Everything, the whole thing. Yeah. Which is going to tell everyone that, no, all of Argentine was black, all until now. At which point the team wasn't, and now what's the problem? She says, another myth argues that it was because of the high death toll of black men caused by the 19th century wars. Black women in Argentina had no choice but to marry, co-inhabit, and form relationships with European men.
Right, so she's actively against miscegenation.
Indeed.
It's crazy.
Leading to the, quote, disappearance of black people... Miscegenation, she writes. Miscegenation.
Miscegenation is black genocide. Washington Post, 2022.
This is still up as well. Miscegenation or interracial mixing.
Oh, how awful.
Led to the disappearance of black people. Over several generations, it has thought to have taken its toll.
Its toll.
It's taken a toll.
Oh, God.
Burn the coal, you
creating pick. A physically lighter and whiter population. Oh, God.
I don't know what to say. I suppose...
That is a great framing.
Yeah, she writes that the...
I bet Richard Spence is exactly.
Those Spaniards over there, they found the black ladies attractive, and this is a bad thing because it led to the disappearance of black people, and it's taken quite a toll on the population, she writes. Okay.
Black women were mere victims of an oppressive regime.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Dictated every aspect of their lives. You mean they got married to white guys, right?
Okay. I love that, right? Like, she tells us, like, okay, those, you know, a lot of bad guys went out and died in war, and then, you know, these European guys were like, I, you know, those black ladies are pretty cute. Should buy them a drink. And they have some kids, and she writes, in this telling, black women were mere victims of an oppressive regime of marriage and kids, and which... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's yep. Pure oppression right there.
Yep.
But more recent
studies...
Couldn't
have been worse, to be honest. I don't know what to tell you.
I've got this husband who loves me and wants to have kids with me. Yeah, but he's white.
Didn't Argentina abolish slavery in like the 1850s as well?
Not that early, but quite early, yeah.
Right, okay.
They're saying here, but more recent studies have instead revealed that some black women in Argentina had concerted decisions to pass as white... Or Amerindian, or to obtain...
Amerindian.
Sorry.
Native mix.
Yeah. Or to obtain the benefits afforded by whiteness for their children and themselves. Right. So the black women here were also wanting to be white, and that's a problem.
This is the Brazilian grandmothers and their genetic imperialism, isn't it?
Yeah, except big question in the room is it forced? And if it's not, then what?
If they willingly wanted to marry white guys, I don't know what I can do about that.
I mean, this lady knows what she's going to do about it, which is a movement.
Hundreds of years
presumably
ago,
with like three letters in the title to stop miscegenation.
Hundreds of years ago, these black women married white guys. And we need to put a stop to that.
She writes, but white Argentine leaders such as, got a bunch of this, Domingo Faustino Sammarino, whatever, West Falklands.
White.
The ex-president of Argentina from 1868, crafted a different narrative to the erasure of blackness because they equated modernity with whiteness.
Oh.
Sammarino over here wrote a book, Facchino... whatever, Civilization and Barbarism, 1845, which detailed Argentina's backwardness and what
he'd
based, and he and others perceived as what needed to become civilized.
Very true.
He was among those who shared a vision for the nation that associated more strongly with European rather than African or Amerindian heritage.
But is that because they were looking at what the British were doing all across their empire and saying, maybe we should do some of that as well?
Yeah, she phrases this as if he was writing the book going like, yeah, so if we're more white, we'll be more civilized, so go and have some babies. No, he actually was writing about the fact that there used to be a dictatorship and are now a republic.
But also, I can see that Argentina abolished slavery in 1853.
How could they do such a thing?
Who was leading the charge on that?
Who knows? Presumably the Africans. Maybe the African kingdoms. Anyway. In many ways, she writes, this was not unique to Argentina. This whitening process was attempted throughout much of Latin America. Oh, could you imagine writing this stuff about today?
No.
Browning of America is... No, the whitening of South America is a problem. Okay, she writes, in Brazil, Uruguay, and Cuba, this also took place, which very much gives me...
Peak white countries, Brazil, Uruguay, and Cuba.
See, the thing is, because you've also got to dichotomize this with the global South, you may remember, for people who missed it.
Yep.
You're missing out on a lot, though.
This
is the map of my global South.
that's
I still can't not look at this and laugh.
Japan, Singapore, Hong Kong.
Taiwan, white.
South Korea, welcome to the white race.
South Korea is in the global North. North Korea is in the global South. Riddle me that.
I don't know how Russia made it.
No, but
Russia make it to the global north.
Israel's in the global north as well.
Good job, lads.
But not the Falklands, which is
what? Not the Falklands.
Deeply hurtful, frankly.
Yeah.
The West Falklands are trying to edge their way in there now.
Literally, the Falklands is populated by nothing but British people. And it's like, yeah, global south.
Maybe this map makes.
Because I mean, really, global south and global north just means white and non-white, right?
Well,
what's going on in Indonesia down there? Why is it? What's
what
that?
Do you mean?
Look, the gap that goes down. Like a long plunge to this.
Yeah, obviously.
What's that?
It's a white nation.
Yeah, but what is it?
Singapore.
Is that? Oh, right, that's Singapore, is it? Right, okay, fair enough.
Because it's a successful British colony.
Right, okay.
Including Hong Kong there as well, you'll notice.
And all the ocean that connects it.
Yeah, but the map like jumps up to encircle Hong Kong and then is like Macau, maybe not. Just ignores that one.
So ridiculous. Anyway. And there are a bunch of island territories that are claimed by Australia and they don't get to be a part of the global.
No, they don't. And this map as well confirms that Argentina is indeed non-white. Yeah. Anyway, getting back to the article in which she continues to make the
poor
hit.
Poor old Mexico.
Well, suffer. what makes Argentina's story so unique in this context, right? However, is that it was successful in its push to build its image as a white country.
Not 4chan.
I mean, not that successful, but whatever. I mean, still makes it on the global south map over there. But for example, in the 1950s, the political philosopher and diplomat Juan Bautista, whatever, was perhaps best known for his saying, "To govern is to populate," promoted white European immigration to the country. Argentina's president, as well, supported his ideas and incorporated them into the country's first constitution, and Amendment 25 saying that the federal government shall foster European immigration.
I mean, a constitution is a European invention.
Yeah, there's that too. But I mean, also that is actually the wording of the EU's constitution, but whatever. That's not a problem. In fact, the ex-president also remarked towards the end of the 19th century, 20 years hence, presumably this was a campaign manifesto promise, it will be necessary to travel to Brazil to see blacks. I don't know what it is about like 1800s race politics, but it's always hilarious. And also,
or France, I suppose, is
And also, at the same time, you will find the critical race theorists just cottoning on to be like, yeah, that's a good idea.
Hey, this guy.
I'm voting for him. Just, like, carry on. I'm sorry, that's why I had to go through this whole thing. It's just, it reads like a lunatic.
Yeah, preposterous.
As for the nation's black and whatever population who were in Argentina before this mass European immigration.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, we're allowed to use that phrase.
Oh, good point.
Mass European immigration.
Oh, it's the Great Replacement. Oh, she's a conspiracy theorist.
Mass migration from Europe is destroying our pure black population of Argentina.
And Amerindian population. Right, okay. Yeah. So now we're on... Right. Good point. She's making a great point about that mass migration.
It's
racial genocide.
I disavow all of this, personally. Many begin to strategically identify as white.
Tactically. Yeah, but this is going the other way. This is what Rachel Dolezal's doing. She's strategically identifying as black in order to get the benefits of it.
She's not the only one. I mean, how many have there been now?
Oh, plenty.
I mean, we also have plenty of like MPs in the UK who are clearly not black, but keep insisting, I am a black candidate.
Oh, like the Liverpool mayor.
Yes, who I think is actually being kicked out now for corruption.
Can you imagine?
Fact check me on that one, but I think she's stepping down because of all that. But either way, strategically identifying as white became a thing.
Mm.
And
it probably did in like 1900.
Yeah, yeah.
Argentina,
just today.
Yeah, yeah,
in real time. Or if they could,
West.
Or if they could pass or settle into a more ambiguous racial and ethnic category,
maybe like marrying a white man.
Yeah, which again, the same thing is happening today in the West, which is that people are continuously trying to argue, oh, no, I'm not white. I mean, do you remember that mayoral debate? I think it was in New York or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, aren't you a white man? And he goes, well, I am Italian. It's just like, yeah, the more ambiguous racial
category.
Yeah,
I'm not white, I'm Italian. It's like, right, that explains a lot.
The exact same thing is happening. These categories
in reverse,
included, this. I kind of feel dirty reading this. I'm not going to pronounce it right, but that's not why I feel dirty. The categories that included the ambiguous groups here. Carrillo, which is pre-immigrant background, often affiliated with Spanish and Amerindian ancestry.
Right.
Moroncho, tan-coloured.
Right.
Pardo, brown-coloured. And Trigudo, wheat-coloured.
Okay, so that describes everyone in Europe south of Denmark.
But also, I don't know about you, but I never thought you'd be allowed to talk like this. But apparently in Argentina they have wheat-coloured people, tan-coloured people, brown-coloured people, and pre-immigrant people.
Isn't wheat-coloured just normal, like, European skin colour?
I have no idea.
Like, white skin is not actually white. If we're actually going to be, like, if we're going to look like, the pipette dropper on Photoshop, then, okay, well, aren't we all kind
Again, this isn't my wheelhouse, but this lady's like, well, I've got a chart.
The swatch chart.
I've got a colour swatch, in fact, which I've listed, wheat, eggshell,
so forth. Yeah.
Well, these labels ultimately cast them as others.
The only white people are those people north of Hadrian's Wall. Right, okay. Like eggshell white. Right, okay, great.
I mean, they're almost translucent in Iceland. So she writes, while these labels ultimately cast them as others, they have also helped disassociate them from blackness at a time where there was a state imperative to not be black.
Okay.
Which is weird because it was a black country, surely. This history makes it clear that whilst Argentinian soccer team may not include people of African descent, or perhaps that people would view as black, it is not a white team either.
I agree.
That's her big brain conclusion, which is she was like, well, they're sort of wheat-coloured, am I right?
Honestly, if you speak Spanish, you're not white.
No, I think that is part of the Global South, and we'll move the map adjustingly. I also just wanted to note they did rename the article after you ratioed them successfully. Why doesn't Argentina have more black players in the World Cup? And not.
That's a much more reasonable question, because it's easily answered, because there are hardly any black people in Argentina.
Do want to enjoy myself, though, because I did call it, which is that diversity wouldn't win, that... The groups harping on about how diverse they are would lose because they spend their time harping on about diversity instead of learning how to pass the ball.
Instead of kicking the ball, yeah.
Yeah, and I just want to bring back up some oldies but goldies.
Go on.
You remember this? You remember this during the tournament? The English team, three black players scored. So this lady had to come out. Anthony over here had to come out and be like, black excellence with pictures of them. I got a million like-a-roonies.
See where this is going, Callum.
Narrative that blew up. Next image, please. Now what? I mean, presumably also black excellence, because Argentina isn't white, but...
I mean, why not? How could you argue the case?
Otherwise, wheat excellence? I don't know. I don't know which category he falls into over there, but
I mean, maybe it's just the shading on that picture or something, but this, you know, Mediterranean excellence, maybe.
Yeah, there's also...
His surname's Messi. Like, that's got to be a Mediterranean name.
That's a white name. Anyway, so Argentina is also having some fun
Lionel
with this.
Lionel Smith. Finally.
Did see this meme being shared a lot from Argentinians, which it's got to hurt.
Yeah, this was like, was it Germany who got crushed by Japan?
There was that too.
Yeah, and it's like, oof, that mono team of Japan.
The English team got destroyed, but then again, France is more diverse than England, so the narrative worked until it didn't, which is, there you have it. They're all still trying to push this ideology as well. It hasn't stopped. If you go the next one here, we see some Twitter accounts who are like, well, without immigration, so many teams this year would not be possible without welcoming diversity.
You know what's weird, right? If they'd never mentioned the word diversity and they just had presented a team where it's like, you know, 7 white guys, 3 black guys, I would assume those 3 black guys were just brilliant.
Yeah, no one would care.
No, it's not even that no one would care.
Like, I wouldn't even think, like, is he from Cameroon? Because I just my mind...
But I wouldn't think, why is he there? I think, oh, he must be great at football. Because that, why else would he be on the World Cup team? You know, so he must be an immigrant to England, you know, maybe the Windrush generation or something like that.
Some guy from Nigeria who we picked up, paid a load of money because he was fantastic.
Must be brilliant at football. But now I think, oh no, Gareth Southgate, I'm not going to say anything rude, but like, saw a black person, was like, yeah, you know? Like, that's what I'm thinking, because I think that, you know, Gareth Southgate is not trustworthy.
No. There's also the fact they're doing this to the women as well. I thought we'd just enjoy this clip, which is hilarious, in which the leader of the England female team was asked a question and you could see the panic.
Oh yeah.
let's play this.
Do we have a diversity problem in English football? Do you think?
Well, that's a good question. I would love to see more black players in the team. I think that's what you're pointing on.
She looks like she's on front of a firing squad.
Yeah, I love how she's not even anything nuanced about diversity. She just goes, more blacks. Don't shoot.
How did Gareth Southgate do it?
Stupid. Anyway, the last thing.
Didn't the England women's team win?
They did when they were all white, and that's got to be changed.
Yeah.
Anyway, the last thing here is just The Guardian also pointing out that, we need to more of this. And the thing is, well...
Oh, real England does it? Right, okay.
Yeah, just don't tag your ideology to the success of a football game. I think that's probably the lesson that should have been learned by now. It's been 3 football games now in which the...
3 tournaments,
non-diverse team has won and destroyed the diverse teams and those who won't shut up about diversity. And maybe it's time... to stop, and maybe it's also time to stop with the color swatches, Washington Post, and
maybe talking about the merit of them as players would be a return to tradition.
Or I suppose we could decide that Argentina is just not white, which is also just an option on the table, which I'm going to take.
Mm.
Very sorry, Argentinian West Falklanders, but let's get the next segment.
I enjoyed that, to be
honest. It's just fun.
Honestly, I'm going to cut so many people out of the white race. Like, I'm not in the white race.
I know you're not.
I'm way too mudblood.
Are the Danish in the white race?
Yeah, the Danes are white.
But they sort of sound funny.
They sound funny, but they're a part of the white race. The southern French are definitely not. Anyone south of like Paris, definitely not.
Is Brittany? Because that's Celtic.
No, that's white.
Hang on.
Well, it depends on how we're defining white, I suppose.
Is Cornwall white?
Good question.
Is Wales white?
I'll break out my 23andMe graphs and we'll find out. Anyway, let's talk about reparations, because come on, this is just on the cards. We need to pay reparations. The debate is over. There's no debate to be had. Reparations are what California is doing, probably. They haven't actually decided yet. But the thing is, there's so much emotion that they're not going to put all this effort in and not do reparations. They've committed. And so, as you discovered with Calvin Robinson, debate is over. Debate is dead.
Yep.
There's nothing to debate. This was really good. If you want to go support us, go to losis.com, sign up, watch Calvin versus the NPCs, because literally, that's what's happening in California. The NPCs have all been programmed. Diversity is our strength. Black Lives Matter. Reparations now. And it's like, okay, well, let's talk about the reparations then. So, in 2020... California, the California Reparations Task Force, it's a task force, this is urgent, right? This is like, you know, the Russians are invading Ukraine, we need a task force.
They've got their own patches.
They probably do.
Oh God, what's the patch?
I dread to think. It's going to be a racist.
Beating up a white guy or something.
It's a non-regulatory state agency in California established by the California Assembly Bill 3121 in 2020. So Gavin Newsom signed this in. To study and develop reparation proposals from for African Americans, especially those who are the descendants of persons enslaved in the United States.
What do you mean? Hang on. What do you mean especially? Don't you mean only?
You would think. But
no.
It's like, for blacks, Callum.
Even slavers.
I am a fresh immigrant from Nigeria.
And I deserve a refund.
The task force is designed to recommend ways to educate.
You took my merchandise from me.
Well, I mean, there is good argument from the Nigerians that, and the Ghanaians, that actually you ruined our economies.
What? The slaves?
The British.
Well, I'm going to go a level further here.
Oh, okay.
Right, hang on. No, the slaves ruins the Nigerians' economy. Because the Nigerians went out and got reliant on the slave trade. So technically, these guys in America who are the descendants owe the Nigerians money.
Carrying on. The task force is designed to
recommend... That's what's going to happen.
We'll see. The task force is designed to recommend ways to educate the California public of the task force findings proposed remedies. 5 members have been appointed by the governor, 2 members are appointed by the president pro tempore of the Senate, and 2 members by the speaker of the assembly. The members are, I'm just going to give their racial demographics, because Wikipedia does. 8 of them are African-American, and the 9th is Japanese-American.
Okay.
Possibly something to do with concentration camps in World War II?
I kind of feel like you've got those guys, and then you've got the Japanese guy sat there, who's like, my dad was in a concentration camp, how about you? And you're like, well, I don't know exactly. But...
I did a 23andMe, and it turns out I'm descended directly from George Washington.
And then there's one guy on the table who's just like, well, I'm Jewish and African-American, so...
But the point is, why appoint judges in their own cause? You know, it's like, okay, are these people invested in the subject? Can they be relied on to be impartial? Well, it's nothing about impartiality, obviously. California is the first state to establish a body to study the long history of terror and oppression against African-Americans and recommend reparations. Germany made payments to Holocaust survivors.
Yeah.
Basically the same thing.
That's not the same.
That's because it was within living memory. And those people...
were alive.
Holocaust survivor...
Or not, their family would have their estate given to them.
Yep.
Or, you know, any of the things that make a reparation possible.
A person who's had something bad done to them is being having it restored after the fact. Hmm. The United States made payments to Americans who were interned during World War II for being Japanese.
Again, an identifiable victim... who was 100%
a
the victim.
With the event.
And a cash amount we can give to them in compensation to them.
For the things that were taken from them. Mm-hmm. Yep. The task force met in 2021. They received testimony about segregation, redlining, voter district. What? Redlining, voter restrictions, and other forms of discrimination in 2022. What, I thought it was slavery. What are you talking about? I mean,
hang
you
on,
literally...
we're not even doing slavery.
Yeah. Descendants of persons enslaved, and suddenly we're on redlining. Are we?
Descendants of those who were victims of redlining.
And other forms of discrimination. But they were discussing whether it was appropriate to pay all African Americans in California or only those whose ancestors were enslaved.
Why is that a debate? I don't...
Great question!
I mean, even in the Calvin Robinson debate, they at least agreed that it should be those who were victims of slavery, their descendants, not random guy from Equatorial Guinea.
Yeah.
What? I want to hear the arguments, frankly.
Well, I would love to as well.
Is there just like a huge like lobby group of Nigerians who are just wanting money?
I mean, that would be good thinking, big brain thinking on the Nigerians' part. But the report is expected next year, so we'll be able to read the full report next year, which I am looking forward to. I'm going to go through this. This is going to be great fun.
Attendees, right? 15 Nigerian princes.
The committee was presented with calculations for certain scenarios that include figures amounting to hundreds of thousands of dollars in reparations for each California resident who can prove they are descendant of an enslaved person. So what I'm saying is, if you're black, you may want to move to California for at least a year because they're going to give you hundreds of thousands of dollars for being black.
That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I'd take it. If I thought, I mean, I literally am descended from slaves, actually, so I thought, if I thought that the Californians were going to give me money...
So if the Argentinians are also watching...
So let's talk about the history of slavery in California.
Is there?
No. Wait. California was the place where slaves went to be freed.
Like, I'm pretty sure, like, after the Mexican-American War...
Yeah, they did.
How long had California even been in there before the Civil War?
Not very much. California was about, 25 years old?
and miles away?
It was in 1849, the first California Constitution Convention was held, in which they did not include slavery in the Constitution. And many freed and enslaved people of African ancestry were part of the California Gold Rush, and many were able to buy their freedom with the gold that they found. So California is where slaves went to find their liberty. And so the Californians now are like, well, we need reparations.
For what?
For not being a slave state and for helping liberate thousands of slaves.
Well, I mean, it was a mistake, so... That's a joke. That's a joke.
I mean, from the Democrats' point of view, I guess it was. Yeah,
but I mean, it is the Democrats in charge.
Literally, it's the Democrats in charge, and they're like, well...
Oh, God, actually, no, that works now. Like, my joke makes sense. You got the Dems back in charge, you're like, well, we need to make up for grievances. They just haven't told you which grievances.
Yeah, so it's just really weird how, like, again, one of the last places in the United States that only just came into existence, you know, decades before the end of slavery entirely in the United States, in which Northerners were the ones that dominated the assemblies. So, like, you know, Northern immigrants were like, no, we're not having slavery. And the Southerners were like, oh. The damn. Southern Democrats literally were like, darn. like that's literally how it went, right?
You should make a history documentary.
I should. But and now the Californians are like, right, we need to lash ourselves, lads. We need to pay for that slavery that we didn't have. But anyway, the New York Times is on it, of course. Of course the New York Times is on it. Right?
Oh, God. So are they taking this seriously?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is very serious, right? In the 2 years since nationwide social justice protests followed the murder of George Floyd, of course.
Sorry.
Noted slave George Floyd.
I had actually completely forgotten about him.
California has undertaken the nation's most sweeping effort yet to explore some of the concrete restitution to black citizens to address enduring economic effects of slavery and racism. What enduring economic effects of slavery does California possibly have?
The death of George Floyd in California.
That wasn't in California.
Well, Carl Rittenhouse shot him in California.
It was in Minnesota.
It was, no. I mean, just make up anything at this point. Why not? I mean, if you're going to try and argue that every random black guy, even if he has no connection to the history of slavery, you know, he might have even been a slave or deserves money. Hundreds of thousands of dollars as well.
Yeah, so this 9-member reparations task force spent months traveling across California to learn about the generational effects of racist policies. I thought we were talking about slavery. Okay, the group, formed by legislation from Newsom, is scheduled to report next year, which will be exciting. The task force has identified 5 areas. You thought one, being a slave, right? That was the thing you were talking about. No. Yeah. Housing discrimination, mass incarceration, unjust property seizures, devaluation of black businesses, and healthcare.
What? Okay, because like slavery, okay. Discrimination in housing, that happened.
I mean, I guess
unjust
property seizure could be characterized as slavery.
I suppose.
Mass incarceration?
Being in jail for crime. Sorry about that.
Devaluation of black businesses? As in, I was going to sell my business, but the guy wasn't prepared to give me the price I wanted.
Well, it's because I was black.
Obviously, but...
Even though he was black too, but
now I need reparations for that? Healthcare? I don't know.
I mean, they're not even trying.
So, as an example, from 1933 to 1977, when it comes to housing discrimination, the task force estimates compensation of around $569 billion. We're way off the reservation when it comes to slavery, though. This is not about slavery in any way, shape, or form.
I mean, why not just throw in George Floyd? I mean, for the grief caused by George Floyd's death to all black Americans.
Why not?
You know, that's the sixth area.
Why not, indeed? Anyway, they're taking suggestions, right? So the task force must determine when each harm began and ended. Well, I would suggest the harm for slavery ended around 1870.
No. I think about 4022 is when it ends.
So, for example, the group could choose to limit cash compensation to people incarcerated between 1970, when more people started being imprisoned for drug-related crimes, to the present. Or they could choose to compensate everyone who ever lived in an over-policed black neighborhood, even if they were not themselves arrested. Live in a black neighborhood, you're suffering. Here's $200,000!
I think my joke might have been real.
It's preposterous.
Like, you've got these Dixiecrats turning up being like, I'm so sorry you live in a black neighborhood. Here's a bunch of money. it's a real crime, the things that are done to you.
This is, but literally at this point, they're just like, yeah, oh God, he's black. Quick, give him some money. I'm so sorry. Like, this is where they're at.
You know those scenes out of movies where you get a coffee and like you open it up and then someone just throws some change in it. It's like, asshole.
Earlier this year, the committee made the controversial decision to limit reparations to descendants of black people in the United States.
Why limit it there? Why not all black people ever?
I moved to the United States in 1990 from Uganda. Where are my reparations? It's like, sorry, it's only for the black people in the United States. Well, that's not controversial. That's common sense. There's no controversy there, right? So either as free or enslaved people, right? Max Fennell, a 35-year-old coffee company owner, said every person should get $350,000 in compensation, not $223,000, to close the racial wealth gap, and black-owned businesses should receive $250,000, which would help them flourish.
Remember those...
yeah, I mean, I guess it would.
Remember those COVID checks?
Yeah.
Where everyone was like, maybe setting the precedent where the government just gives people money, just straight up, is a bad idea.
Yep.
Real bad idea for the mental states of how people think about politics. No, just give us $350,000 each.
Well, I want to know why Max is such a racist who's in favor of slavery. $350,000, that's not enough.
Yeah.
Wait, $500,000. No, what about a million?
I mean, how much? Billion. Hang on.
Why have you chosen $350,000, Max?
Well, the ladies who run George Floyd's Theft Incorporated, they got like $80 billion each. Well, $80 million, sorry. They in did. Which case, that's the average standard for a black person.
They did say that they had done this for purposes of restoration and restorative justice.
George Floyd's soul was holding open that portal. Yeah. Remember that?
But it's a debt that we're owed. We worked for free. Royal we there.
We
worked for free. What, in your coffee company? No, I worked on the plant. No, you didn't. You didn't do anything. But anyway, so the question is, okay, well, who's going to get this,
I've been
right?
picking coffee all my life. It's like, no, you haven't.
Yeah. So who's going to get this? Because it turns out that a lot of whites are actually not white. You can get to the next one, John. Because they were like, well, if we test your DNA, it turns out America is a very mixed race country, obviously. And so those people with white skin, much like myself, in fact, can DNA test and find out, actually, you've got black, therefore slave ancestry in your genetics. So are you not?
So you've got a little while just to re-register your house in California.
I could, yeah, exactly. I could buy a cheapo slum in California, register as someone and live there, pay some tax for a few months, get $350,000.
No one's looking for a roommate on the books.
Yeah. Like, all I'm saying is I think I might need, don't I need like one patron or something like that? I need someone to recommend me.
I think if you like rent a room from someone,
right,
for like $1 a month,
I mean, they're not
just on paper.
Yeah, exactly. Right, and so they were crowing about this. They're like, ha ha ha! You think you're white, but actually you're black. Ha ha! Got you. And it's like,
that's okay. Not a bad thing, is it?
Yeah, exactly. Who cares?
Why are you laughing?
But, well, that's what this article is. They consider themselves white, but no, you're not.
It's going on the Washington Post.
Yeah, exactly. This is not the first time, is it? But then they also are like, aha! We've also got the white supremacists who are also not white. You give the next one, John?
Hang on.
Sorry, go back.
Just see, like, story number three, racist message found at the Super Bowl. Anyway, haha, you're black.
Go to the next one. If you scroll down, just so you see the headline, right? Again, their DNA. So, right. Okay, California. So now you're going to DNA test people, find they've got a lineage to slavery, and all of these white supremacists, you're like, yeah, here's your $350,000, lads.
I'm sure that's got to be a skit. Like, every member of the clan,
I'm sure,
is
Dave
one...
Chappelle has already made that.
Yeah, like, every member of the clan is, like, 1/16th black or something. And then they all get sent a check. sorry for slavery.
Anyway, moving on. Market Watch are like, why is there a wealth gap? Why? I can't... I have no idea, Market Watch. Okay. This reparations tally could come up to $475,000 per person through their estimates.
Jesus Christ. I mean, is the US dollar going to be worth anything?
No. It's not worth anything now. But the point is, by the end of this, you're right, it will be worth nothing.
Christ. Hang on.
More people at the task force were like, you know what, 350K isn't enough. Go to the next one. Speaking at the meeting of the task force to study and develop reparation proposals for African Americans at Oakland City Hall, Dion Jenkins argued that every black Californian should receive a payment of around $800,000.
So,
which is pulling these numbers out of the air. Why only $800,000? Why not a million? Why not a million, eh?
I mean, we're in billions and billions and billions at this point.
Monopoly money territory. Because this reflects average home prices in the state. Either they're going to comply or it's going to be serious backlash, said Jenkins. Oh. Give us $800,000, or there'll be serious backlash. Yeah, nice state you had here. This sounds very much like a shakedown, doesn't it?
I mean, we're up to half a trillion now. Just to let you know.
California, we never had something. It doesn't matter. There's going to be a backlash.
Well, you know, California's finances are doing so good. I'm sure they've got this money sitting around. It's not like they're on a huge negative or anything every single year. Verging on bankruptcy.
So he and other activists were complaining that $223,000 is just not enough. What they want is money for, quote, defense, money, land grants, four elements of every society, every nation, a defensive structure, economy, land, and having access to that economy.
Right? Well, you have all that.
Well, no, because that's American. What they appear to want is to set up some sort of Liberia in California.
Well, we do have that. It's called Liberia.
Yes, but they want it in California.
Okay.
Where they have defense, as in their own armed forces.
Do you want to set up a black nation, like a reservation, in California, and it's got its own defense policy, money policy, land grants? Yeah, I think you might be a lunatic.
The debate continued on Thursday when the Reverend Tony Pierce of the Black Wall Street Project shouted at the podium that $230,000 is not enough. Well, I mean, you probably only afford one or two tanks with $230,000.
These people would take $100. If you stood there and they think, all right, how about $100? And just they'll take it and walk out.
Well, they think they're going to get $800,000. Yeah, so
they're just trying to grift.
If this isn't obviously a grift, then nothing is. And they've thought about this, right? The reparation should be tax-free. So the IRS won't come after us. And I'm pleading and I'm asking that when we make the decision of lineage, we save those who have been in California.
Honestly, if you were going to do it, you'd have to make them tax-free.
Of course.
Otherwise, another 20 years, we were oppressed by the IRS.
There are... I mean, I was going to call them skeptics, but I think the appropriate word is just racists.
Who
don't agree. Now, I just want to put myself in the category of anti-racist. I think 800,000 just isn't enough. And I think it should be every black person, not descendant of slaves. And I think that California should probably pay something between the realm of, I don't know, 5 million per black person. I think that's probably...
Have you got a shopping list?
Maybe I do. But the point is, you get some racists, like actor Faison Love, who is like, no. Now, if you want to scroll down to a picture of Faison Love...
He's a white supremacist.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it.
Average Kanye West fan. I'm joking. I don't know that he likes Kanye West. He probably doesn't. But he lashed out at the notion that black people in California will be given $223,000 in reparations, saying the money will only be used to purchase luxury cars. One hand, you could call him a cynical realist. On the other hand, you can call him a racist. He said, F that, that's another trick, man, because that money's going to go right back to Cadillac, right back to Mercedes-Benz. Is he wrong?
I think I don't know if it's him, but I saw a guy who looks especially like him talking about this. He was mentioning about the fact, like, black America has so much money. Like, it's not...
It's got loads.
Yeah, but they spend it hugely different to white America.
Yep.
And he just gave the statistics on, like, how much is spent on liquor per person, how much is spent on Mercedes-Benzes, how much is spent on Nike shoes. And the point obviously being that in black America, these are status symbols.
Mm.
And that's what you're wasting that money on instead of building anything that builds society.
Yes.
And if you give them the money, they're probably going to spend it.
Money is a form of liquid. You can't just hold it in your hands.
Property, however,
you know, if they were saying, look, every black person should be given a free house that they own, I'd be like, okay, well, that makes more sense.
Still going to fail, but...
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
I'm not optimistic, but like, you know, it makes more sense. And it gives them a reason to be invested in their local community, as in, this is my house. I'm going to take it, you know, take care of it, blah, blah, blah. But no, Faison Love is completely correct. He literally says here, right? He's like, look, there are alternatives to monetary reparations, as in making black people tax exempt.
That's still... Okay.
Oh. No, that's actually not a terrible incentive. Because for tax exemption to mean anything,
you've got
to get
rates.
A job. You know? Yeah, exactly. Anything that gets rid of taxes, I'm kind of for, you know?
I'm not. I feel a bit Like, what? I shouldn't be discriminated against in the tax code?
Sure, but then we've got an argument to get rid of our taxes. Hey, they don't have to pay taxes.
Yes, but they're black.
Yeah, but I'd get out of taxes.
I think, yeah, our taxes would go up. Well, not yours, because you're black, so...
Yeah, exactly. I'd be fine. But the point is, like, at least there's an incentive there. So, look, you can work hard, you don't get taxed. And in fact, it could be a useful study in how good tax breaks actually are, right? Because, like, if the black community are like, yeah, I can actually do all this, and then they start really succeeding, it's like, we're all being burdened with tax, you gits. You know, like, we want that too, you know? So there are other things that make sense.
No. Black people will just start running all the companies. That's how it'll work.
That's a good idea. And there we go.
Exactly, but then we pay a lower tax because, you know.
Yeah, but then no
one... He owns the company, I just work for him.
Exactly, then everyone's taxes just start... Yeah. And eventually we get back to that pre...
All right, you saw me.
Pre-Civil War tax codes. So, anyway, and the thing is, he is right about just giving them loads of money. He is totally right about this. Give them property, don't give them loads of money, because there are so many examples of whenever anyone comes into a massive wadge of cash, it destroys their life, ruins them completely. Because turns out that to be rich and to know how to handle money requires experience. Otherwise, you get lots of people coming to you saying, give me money. I mean, loads of these people committed suicide.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, and it destroys your relationships, destroys everything you think you know. And you end up bankrupt at the end of it. And he's completely right. The money will just end up flushing into BMW and all these other rich car companies. The black community will have no ability to pay the maintenance on these expensive cars. They'll end up losing them, and they'll have less than what they started with.
Do you know the story of the English binman who won like 150 million in the lottery?
No, but that's going to be one of many.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
He ended up as a binman within 2 years.
Yeah. It's just it's kind of a cruel thing to suggest, actually. But this is just the way of the world, and so yeah, good luck.
Move to California, I suppose. God, there's the one reason to move to California is just to scam money out of the state.
But isn't it weird how until the left, like, start, like, until the left bring it up, we never have to talk about race.
No.
And they're the only people who want to talk about this.
Yeah, I mean, who writes a whole segment about, a whole article talking about miscegenation and why it needs to stop because it's replacing the migration.
Yeah, just like, need to stop. Like, well, I mean, it's literally them and 4chan.
Yeah. Let's go to the video comments.
So you are not your body?
No.
What are you?
I believe that I'm a soul with a body.
This abortionist acknowledging the soul is distinct from the body matches Philip K. Dick's short story, The Pre-Persons. Presumably the lady would say there's a moment that the soul attaches to the body or the body expresses the soul. Logically, that would mean abortion would be legal right up to that point. The Pre-Persons predicts that any test for the soul would be purely arbitrary and could be falsified at any time. I would love to hear what her test would be and at what age it would set when abortion becomes murder to her.
Bad questions.
What one thing that I find remarkable is she thinks that, right, the body is merely a container for the soul. It's like, okay, but the fetuses surely must have a soul then. Why don't they have souls? Like, in this theology. Like, okay, but your body is a container for a soul. Okay, well, that's one way of looking at it. But also the fetus is a body that must contain a soul. And you're like, yeah, so that seems unkind.
Seems a bit like she's happy about killing, but...
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, moving on.
A Gentleman's Observations of Ohio, Chapter 1, Arrival. Even at their most stern, i.e. airport security, the people there were friendly and helpful, definitely more so than British airport staff, as they showed me exactly where to take my luggage and gave me directions without me needing to ask. The size of alcohol servings was spectacular, and a few people were even into watching the World Cup, which was a nice surprise. The only downside was having to submit my info to the CDC for some reason and taking a COVID test which made me bleed for the rest of the day. This poster at the airport really seemed a bit weird, but, oh well. Small things, I guess.
This is why I'm not going to America until all this nonsense is over.
I still can't believe it's going on, frankly.
Yeah, it's wild.
Like, maybe it's just because in the English world, like in Britain, it's dead. It has been dead for years now.
Yeah, literally years.
You guys
No one mentions COVID. Everyone just gets on with their lives.
Yeah.
And the Americans, like, do this test.
But have you done your test, Joe?
Go away, you freak.
I wonder if it's going to become a cultural difference. Like, just for the rest of time, like, the new world will still do these things in North America, whereas...
Maybe.
Like, the old world just has all stopped caring.
Maybe. I mean, I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah.
I wonder what things are like in New Zealand at the moment. They're probably still... I bet it's still on TV every day.
You're probably right. The New Zealanders let us know. Yeah. But otherwise, keep up the updates from Ohio. Sounds good.
Oh, she's not going to take your box.
You don't know that.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah. You dick.
Love that.
Yep.
Let's go to the next one.
All right. I didn't know when you guys were taking off for Christmas, so just thought I'd send this early. Oh, boy. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
That's very good.
Merry Christmas, Lotus Eaters. Hope you have a good one.
Thanks.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
We'll be broadcasting over Christmas, apart from on Boxing Day. It's Harry. Oh, there will still be something on Boxing Day. Okay. Harry wanted Boxing Day off, and I was like, oh. He was like, please, sir, can I have Boxing Day off? And I was like, oh, I can't do it. I can't be Scrooge. I can't make him, no, get back in the content mines. So, yeah. But apparently we're still broadcasting. Apparently they've got it all sorted, so I don't know. I don't run this place.
All
right. Oh, I'm in it, am I?
I did see there was a comment earlier when we were talking about the miscegenation article. Some guy was like, when's the premium podcast when you're going to sit around and decide who's white and who's not? To be honest, it would be pretty funny if we just like get, you know, like a McDonald's.
Yeah, we need a criteria.
Like a little map of the world and some McDonald's crayons and we just sort of, you know, have some fun.
Who gets to be in the Global South?
I think certain parts of England are definitely in the Global South.
London's part of the Global South.
Yeah, that for
obviously.
Sure. Cornwall.
Birmingham, Manchester.
Liverpool.
Luton. Leicester.
I think everything around Liverpool is sort of...
Yeah, Liverpool's Irish, obviously. Yeah. It's always been part of the Global South.
Anyway, not a bad idea.
Brew the Day says, rejoice, the banished man returneth. And Colin says, the beard returns.
Yeah.
People are happy that you're back.
I haven't had time to actually like groom myself, so I do feel a bit like a tramp, to be honest.
M says, perhaps their free speech is like their democracy. It's only good if it's, well, theirs. That's exactly what it is. It's not even perhaps. That's exactly what it is. Radcheck was right, says, I cannot think of worse optics for these journalists' careers, complaining about the platform becoming safer and removing people who have broadcast information that directly leads to the people jumping on the cars threatening child safety. I'll dox your toddlers, that's right, I'm a journalist. Yeah, it is weird hill to die on, isn't it? It's like, what, I can't dox the guy who owns this platform so people can go and harass his son? That's just off. That's just wrong. Like, that's such a weird hill to die on.
I mean, there were people who tried to defend the idea of, like, the mobs being able to gather to kill the corn dealers, but it's just a bad argument. Like, I should be allowed to organise death.
Yeah, it's just, like, look, if we can't publicly harass you, then we can't use this platform, says Taylor Lorenz.
Yeah, that's a revealing statement.
Yeah, it is. It's just like, why is this the hill you're going to die on? And a bunch of them are like, yeah, well, I'm going to share your docs. Bam, Elon Musk, buff. It's like...
Well, they literally don't have a job without it, so...
Yeah, but what was the point in that? Like, A, you know, you knew he was going to, because he was like, look, the rules will be applied fairly. And doxing Elon Musk, really the hill? I mean, there's a subreddit with apparently 50,000 people in it now that's devoted to tracking Elon Musk's plane. It's like, why? I don't join a subreddit devoted to tracking Bill Gates' plane. I hate Bill Gates. What the hell's wrong with you people?
But also, like, who cares? Like, unless it's going somewhere interesting, I just... Like, it just seems like a crap hobby, frankly.
Well, unless, you know, there's some progressive jihadists trying to kill Musk. Yeah. Anyway, S.H. Silver says, notes that Musk never mentioned divesting his ownership of the company, simply not being directly in charge of the day-to-day activity, obviously. I have a feeling that Musk always plans come in like a wrecking ball, make huge changes and take a back seat. Yeah, we talk about this a few months ago, because he's been saying this for a while. It's just that I think he's approaching it the wrong way. Lord Nerevar says, buys Twitter, leaks all its deepest, darkest secrets, bans the journos, refuses to elaborate, leaves. Chad Musk. This is good. That Isle guy says it is truly glorious to watch the cope and seethe from the previously loudest advocates of extreme censorship and now suddenly gnashing and wailing their teeth when hoisted by their own petard, particularly Keith, the snowflakes are afraid, Olbermann. Yeah, Keith Olbermann's just... I feel, like you said, I feel kind of bad for him. It's like, he's... What is he, 55? 60? Like, this is really the way your life led? Miggen says, it's honestly so strange to see the pendulum swimming the other way. I was beginning to think these people would be constantly censoring oppression for all time. Happy to see things changing. Well, they're only changing on Twitter, remember? Like, all of the other platforms are still controlled by these lunatics. Just that Twitter is the most imminent.
But it's interesting how much of an effect it's having, because you can clearly see the rest of them. They're still controlled by leftists, but they're scared.
Yes.
Like, they're definitely on watch.
Good. This is how we've been for this whole time.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like, you know, Musk doesn't own your company at Facebook, and yet everyone at Facebook is sort of like panicking as if like their entire world is about to end.
It's good, isn't it?
It is.
Rick says, sorry, I've got a really sore throat for anyone's wondering.
Do you want to read some?
No, it's fine. Yeah. It's just really annoying. Rick says, it should be mentioned that it wasn't long since Elon Musk tried to see how many bots were left on Twitter and tried to make them come out of the woodwork. I'm not saying he tried to set up a situation where the poll was going to make the last of the bots appear, but if he did, this is probably what it would look like. That's a great point, actually, that I hadn't considered. He's been trying to root out the bots for ages, and, I mean, he's been doing this, you know, the democracy via Twitter, and he has been sticking to what the polls have showed him. So it's like, I'll resign.
Yeah, big important poll.
Yeah, that'll get the bots. Henry says, are Argentinians white? Well, one of their players is called McAllister, so I'm waiting for Scotland to claim they won the World Cup. This is like Ireland saying, yes, he's an Irish president. What I will say is my loathing for their football team is so strong, I was supporting the French in the final yesterday. I was putting a really... I mean, I don't like football, but who do I hate more, France or Argentina? I mean, I don't know.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's really tough.
Like, France... legacy, there's a tradition of hating France, but Argentina
the West Falklands, so
most recent, you know, like
plus they won't shut up about it still.
No,
like at least the French sort of are going, like, yeah, you have the Channel Islands, whatever.
Good point, vive la France. Until the West Falklands shut up about their defeat, then, you know, then I can support them. Omar says, crazy feminist author can't consistently decide between the one drop rule and the Family Guy skin color chart. More news/opinion, piece at 11. Yeah, that's a great point. It's just, is it the one drop rule? Or is it the Family Guy skin squatch? Who knows? Like, she's, yeah. Zach says, never asked an Argentinian where his grandfather was in the early 1940s. Well, it's because you know the answer is Germany. Charlie says, so why doesn't the Argentine football team have more black players? Simple. It's a country, not a Disney movie, you dunce. That's actually, that went viral. Someone replied to it, it's a country, not a Netflix documentary or something. Baron von Warhawk said, well, it's good to know the RGs can win something. Well, that's true. Lord Nerevar says, I must admit, I was rooting for France in the World Cup final, not because of particularly liking them and their diversity regime, but because the rivalry we have with them is mostly just banter, but the enmity with Argentina is very real. I mean, the thing is, I actually don't hate Argentina. If we'd lost the war, I'd hate Argentina.
I don't know. I think if we'd actually lost the war, we wouldn't care. It would just be another place we lost. Because then, like, you know, part of the colonies has gone to Argentina, whatever. Well,
it'd been like Afghanistan, wouldn't it?
I think it's not even hatred from the British. Like, the Argentinians, I think, still hate us and talk about it. It's why Top Gear got so much trouble doing what they did. But for us, it's just kind of a meme.
Yeah.
Where it's like, your country's got 20% inflation? What was that, 50% inflation?
And they never got over it as well, so.
Yeah.
In fact, he says here, they never recovered from the Falklands emotionally. And their players were singing anti-British chants in the locker room before the match with Croatia. Well, now I'm definitely rooting for France. Yeah. While I respect and agree that it's a bloody nose to the work diversity agenda, Argentina's victory is not a good thing for England. Well, obviously.
No, I'm just making the point that
any foreign victory is not a victory for England, all right?
But just like the whole concept, like I really thought after the European cup or whatever it was, where the whole thing about diversity, I thought, okay, maybe I'll die. And then it went to the women's one. I was like, okay, well, it's the women's one. So this is the second hurrah and I'll die. And in the World Cup, they tried to do it again.
Yes. So diversity has failed 3 times in a row after being publicly front and center. Mm. And so now the white people have to become the diversity.
Do you think they're going to declare every other nation a non-white nation? So then no matter what happens next time,
I don't doubt that they are already in the process of doing that. Okay. John says, imagine you're thinking you're the oppressed one when you're telling the government, give us 800K or there will be consequences. That's a great point.
I mean, that's how the slaves talk to their master.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you know you're the one who's not the oppressor. Free Will says, why should people who have gone to America after slavery ended pay reparations for an institution they had nothing to do with or in creating or maintaining? Yes, all these Polish surnamed Americans are going to be paying their reparations. Rose says, here's a hot take. The large sum of money destroying them is the actual plan. I mean, it is Democrats, man.
This is like, what was it, the CIA used to have heroin dealt in the ghetto on purpose to destroy the black community.
I hadn't even considered that, Rose, actually.
New heroin.
I mean, if we were going to be cynical about it, when he's like, well, you know, blacks shouldn't pay tax, like, well, a lot of that is probably untaxable spending, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are going to be a lot of fentanyl deaths from this reparations. And they're going to be probably located in one community because they were the only community that got the money.
That is actually just... I thought no, but then it'll be 180 again. It'll be, how could you have done this to these people who all died disproportionately of drugs in this 1 year?
Yeah. It's like, well, we gave them loads of money for drugs. And, I mean, well, we're car crashes and, like, fast cars. They're not used to driving and stuff like this. Yeah.
But, like, the bin guy, the bin man, for example, like, he got all his money, just brought, like, 10 cars, 3 mansions, gave one of the mansions to his mum. His mum was incredibly lonely because it's huge, just her.
I didn't laugh, but that's horrible.
Yeah, everything about this story is just tragic, but it's exactly what the same will happen, which is that he did loads of cocaine, loads of fancy meals, flying around the world, all that. And just within 2 years, he couldn't pay the mortgages anymore on the stuff he'd brought. Had to sell it all, liquidated the rest of it, and then was back as a binman.
It was a fun holiday for 2 years, I suppose.
Well, it's a hell of a story, but I mean, I think down the pub he probably made fun of quite a bit.
Yeah. Andrew says, California ought to pay reparations to all the states where their refugees have turned the local politics blue. That's a great point.
Yeah, I think that's something that can be enforced as well.
But right, I guess we're out of time then.
So if you'd like more from us, go to lowsears.com, of course. And otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you, and goodbye.